Today on Real Radio.
You guys get excited about this. He said earlier, I call you what? Friends. Remember? John 17. I call you friends. Then he's resurrected from the dead. He doesn't use the word friends anymore. He uses a word that is deeper and more intimate. Go tell my brothers. It's deeper. It's deeper now. Go tell my brothers. He called them disciples in the beginning. Then he called them friends. Now that he's resurrected, he calls them brothers. Go tell my brothers. Isn't that awesome?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Gospel of John and his sub-series on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a look at the first 18 verses of John chapter 20. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Verse 14, then when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, listen, woman, why are you weeping? Same thing as the angels, right? Same question. Angel said, why are you weeping? She's crying. She turns to them and says, because they've taken away the body of my Lord. I don't know where they've laid him. She turns back away. She looks away. Then Jesus appears. She doesn't know it's Jesus. We'll see why in a moment. And he says, woman, why are you weeping? I don't know what she's thinking. You ever been emotional? Look, I just said why I'm weeping. Don't make fun of me. I'm in my pain. Woman, why are you weeping? Listen, whom are you seeking? Oh, I love it. Underline that. Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Jesus is implying here, if not shouting it, woman, you're weeping. Whatever emotional reason it is in direct connection to whom are you seeking. You get that, people? Huh? Do you get it?
Yeah.
Your weeping is in association with whom you're seeking. Are you weeping because this world hasn't delivered to you the goods that you wanted? Whom or what are you seeking? What standard have you placed upon your life? This will be my pot of gold. What is your target in life? What is your dream? Whatever your dream is, Jesus put it this way, wherever your treasures are, that's where your heart's going to be. My heart was broken this week to hear how there are thousands of people in America right now, elderly people, who put, and it's so sad, I mean, we can step back and say, don't, you shouldn't have done that, but they put their retirement, their life into Enron, and it's gone. It's gone. They were hoping, but they put all their eggs, so to speak, in one basket, and now it's gone. They're waking up this morning. What are they thinking? What are they feeling? A man, a woman, having provided for their home all their lives, now they wake up. Grandma and grandpa's broke. There'll be no Christmas this year, kids. As a man, how does that make you feel? Many men put the gun to their head at times like that. They've lost all hope. Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Jesus is saying, Mary, the very connection of your weeping is in association with whom you're seeking. Mary, he's going to be telling her soon. It's okay. She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away." This is emotion speaking, and I love it. Now listen, are you analytical? Gardener, where did you take him? Wherever you've taken him, give me a map. I'll get some help. We'll figure out his general weight, get a cart, a couple of donkeys. I'll get a few guys to lift him, and we'll take him away. Just tell me where you've laid them. Don't you love Mary? This is the way our heart should be. Tell us where you put him. Tell me where you put him. I'll take him away myself. Mary, how are you going to pick him up? No pun intended, but Mary, if you could, and if he was there, it's dead weight. It's heavy, Mary. How are you going to pick him up? But isn't that beautiful, emotion speaking? Emotions are awesome, and they're also horrible. Aren't they? So far, Mary has been ripped off by her emotions. Remember, she comes to the tomb. Ah! He's gone! She didn't even look inside. He's gone. She goes back and tells Peter and John, he's gone. Emotion speaking. But those same emotions that were her attacker now become her strength. She says, listen, tell me where you've laid him. I'll pick him up and carry him myself. The adrenaline, I'm not thinking about. My little female structure, I'm not even giving consideration to. I'll carry him. Emotions. Emotions can be wonderful. They're accents. I read that emotions under the control of God in our lives should be wonderful accents to life. Isn't that true? Beautiful things. You know, some people might say, well, you're too emotional. Some people say, well, you're so heavenly minded. You're no earthly good. You ever heard that? People have been saying that for 100 years. You're so heavenly minded. You know, you're quoting Bible. You know, you're talking about God all the time. You're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I have never met anyone who is so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. The problem is we're so earthly minded, we're often no heavenly good. But to only be effective in this world and on this earth is to be heavenly minded. Emotions. They can rob us. They can take us down. They'll lie to us. They'll even deceive our eyes. Emotions are so powerful, somebody can be standing right in front of us and we will not believe it. Emotions. I saw one of the most horrible things that I've ever seen in my life. I was at Rose Hills Mortuary not long ago. If you've ever been to Rose Hills, you know, you gotta get a map. It's like a city of dead people. They have so many entrances from various freeway off ramps, it's insane. It's huge. I mean, I tell you, it's huge. And after I finally found the funeral I was supposed to be officiating over, after it was over, I was driving out of that place, and I saw the saddest thing that maybe I've ever seen in my life. Emotions having robbed this woman, she is sitting at the gravesite of someone I do not know. She's got flowers. She's got decorations. She's got cards, greeting cards. She had an umbrella on her lawn chair. She had an ice chest. She was sitting there and she had a little trash bag. She was sitting there, elderly woman, gray, beautiful gray, white hair. And she had a little puppy. And she was sitting at that grave. I can only assume talking to her husband or talking to her son or talking to her daughter or her lost friend. I don't know. But that woman, based upon emotions, when her friend or husband died, she died. And she lives at that graveside. She, no doubt, is talking to them. She brings greeting cards to them. She brings the umbrella. She's sitting there in the sun and in the fog and whatever. And that's her life now. The man has died. She's there as good as dead. And it's horrible to think that after 2,000 years, Jesus has been risen from the dead. And what does she know about the hope that God says, listen, those who have died in Christ, I'm going to bring with me when I come and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You'll see them again. I just wanted to yell. I couldn't do it. The circumstances didn't provide for it. I wanted to go up there and say, lady, do you love this carcass that's here laying? Do you want to see them again? There's one way. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father but through him. His name is Jesus, and he's risen from the dead. You're free this morning, free. And that woman is held captive by the grave, and she's not even there yet. And she's bound, and my heart broke for that woman. Emotions can rob us. Emotions can be a wonderful thing. Mary's weeping. We have reasons to cry in this life. We're not stoic. But God is greater. We may cry for joy. That's a wonderful thing. We may cry because we think that all hope is gone. But listen to what God says to us. God encourages us radically. Verses 16 to 18. Then Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him, not Rabbi. Rabboni. Sounds kind of Italian, huh? Rabboni. It means the teacher. Listen, Rabboni is over rabbi. Rabboni was spoken of the high and revered teacher. In fact, Gamaliel was called Rabboni. Gamaliel, the great Jewish scholar during the time of Paul. And they also would mention God being Rabboni, the great teacher. Isn't that amazing? Mary turns and says, Rabboni! Why'd she do that? Well, she thought he was the gardener first. There's theories about this. I think I know what the answer is, though, personally. Not boasting about it. But the Bible tells us that Jesus, on several appearances after his death, was not recognizable by others who knew him. We know from Zechariah and from Psalm 22 that he bears in his body the scars of his sufferings. We know in Zechariah that when Jesus Christ comes out of heaven in the great second coming with the church to the earth, that he's got holes in his hands and his feet. And Israel's going to say, oy vey. Where, they say, in the scripture, did you get these holes in your hands and in your feet? They're going to ask him that. Isaiah 50 tells us that his beard was plucked out of his face. He resurrected with his scars. She doesn't recognize who he is. She assumes him to be the gardener. That truth, coupled with the fact she'd been crying a lot, she didn't recognize him. But how and what was it that caused her to recognize him? Mary, Mary, there was a tone. You guys, listen to the sweetness of this. There's a tone. You ever seen somebody in love? It's kind of sickening sometimes. But here's this, you know, big strapping guy, and he's got his woman next to him, and they, you know, they're walking, you know, and they're going along and whatever, and he says, hey, sweetie pie, you want to go home and, you know, read a book, or, you know, you want to cuddle, want to take a drive, sweetheart, huh, little poopsie? And people go, man, that's sickening. It's absolutely sickening because it's not directed to us. But when somebody loves us and they go, hi there, big guy. Hi, sweetie. It's like, oh, man. Woo. Put you on top of the world. It's the tone. The tone is everything. You can say, Mary. Or you can say, Mary. Mary? When he said it, she went, Rabboni, that's it. You're the one. I knew it. Yeah, right, Mary, I know. Mary, listen, she no doubt jumps on him to cling to him tightly. She must grab him tightly. And Jesus says something fantastic. Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Listen carefully. But go to my brethren, brothers. Circle the word. First time it appears here. Very powerful. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Simply this. Mary, don't tackle me and hold me in one spot. Mary, first of all, go tell the world. Start with my brethren. He never used this word before. You guys get excited about this. He said earlier, I call you what? Friends. Remember? John 17. I call you friends. Then he's resurrected from the dead. He doesn't use the word friends anymore. He uses a word that is deeper and more intimate. Go tell my brothers. It's deeper. It's deeper now. Go tell my brothers. He called them disciples in the beginning. Then he called them friends. Now that he's resurrected, he calls them brothers. Go tell my brothers. Isn't that awesome? There's a progression of spiritual development and growth, as should take place in the life of every believer. Are you further along with Jesus than you were last year? If not, go find another church. If I'm holding you back, go. Seriously, my greatest fear as a pastor is that I stop growing. Because if I don't grow, I can't go any further, and I can't take you in the teaching any further. If you're not growing, first of all, find out if your heart's right. Are you prepared? Are you listening? Are you taking notes? Are you applying yourself to learning? You say, yeah, I am, but I'm not getting anything. Then go somewhere where you can get Bible administered to you. But are you going from disciple to friend to brother in the most tender terms? Mary, don't cling to me. Jesus says an interesting thing. I have not yet ascended. Well, later on, we're going to have Thomas putting his fingers in Jesus' body. You're going to have them holding him later, not far from this moment. I just want to leave this and go study it on your own. I believe that after this moment with Mary, Jesus did, in fact, ascend into heaven to do his priestly work, recorded in Hebrews chapters 9 and 10. And by the time you see him again, being held by any others, that work would have been accomplished. Because you've got to get Jesus into Hebrews chapters 9 and 10, or he's not our great high priest. It's got to happen. And when he says, go tell my brethren, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, don't think that there's some sort of parody that Jesus is just one of us, just like us. No, he's saying to my Father and to the Father of my brethren, Jesus being the first fruits from the dead, the risen one. We'll wrap this up. The followers of Jesus Christ came. They came to the tomb. And if you might allow me to be almost devotional or mystical about it, they came. It's recorded as a fact, they came. You must come. No, you don't have to get in an airplane and fly to Israel and come to the tomb. You can do something more important than that. But you have to come. You must come to where Jesus is. Yes, in his nature, Jesus is everywhere, yes. But Jesus makes it extremely clear that he's in the fellowship of his brethren. That's us. If in any way this morning's invitation for you to know Jesus is playing upon your heart right now, my friend, rejoice in God, because the Bible speaks of us having blinders on our eyes. We cannot understand nor be excited or be invited into spiritual matters unless God begins to peel away the blinders from our eyes. You must come. Are you willing to come? They were willing to come. even in the face of being persecuted, mocked at by Rome, maybe even risking their lives, going to the tomb knowing that there's a Roman cohort standing there guard over the tomb. They came. Risking life, they came. Will you come? They stooped down, suggesting a humbleness of self. I can't save myself. I may have been able to accomplish this or that in life, but I can't do it. I can't do it on my own. I can't save myself. I'm going to come and I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to say, God, be real in my life. Take my guilt and my sin away. Be real in my life. And thirdly, you must look in. Suggestion that you must turn your eyes toward Him. Turn your eyes toward Him. Can you do that? I know you can do it. Will you do it? And then fourthly, you need to enter in. You must go inside. A lot of people want to criticize God, but they won't come. They won't stoop down and humble themselves and long enough to look inside. They will never enter in. Be it a church or outreach or the Bible. And then they wonder why they can't see anything. That's number five. They can't see a thing. They won't see. But you must be willing to see. And then finally, we learned this from John. Having done those things, coming and stooping down and looking in, entering in and seeing clearly, they believed. And you must believe. There is no greater Christmas that is at the threshold of your life now than for you to take your life and lay yourself at the foot of His tree. To wrap yourself up as a gift and say, God, here I am. I'm a liar, cheat, arrogant, proud, adulterer, bank robber, fill in the blank. What are you? I mean, we're something, aren't we? Go down the list of the Ten Commandments. Where have we failed? You don't have to go very far. Just go to the first commandment. God, I've been wonderful in all the other nine, but I have not loved you with all of my life. Aren't you guilty of that? I am. I'll raise both hands. And how on earth will you get to heaven? Answer is you won't make it. Until you transfer your life into His care.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study series called The Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, if you'd like to hear the study once again, it's quite easy to do so. Simply pay us a visit at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll be able to hear this study again, as well as past studies, and become a podcast subscriber, all at no charge. That's www.realradioactive.org. If you prefer to get in touch by telephone, here's our number, 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. You know, if you've been listening to Real Radio for quite a while now, and you've really enjoyed the program and benefited from it, we'd like to hear from you. Even if you're not able to contribute financially, we'd still like to be encouraged by what you've learned and how you've grown in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ because of this broadcast. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org and share your thoughts. You can also visit our website and read what others have written in. realradioactive.org. Here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 909-393-7100. Once again, area code 909-393-7100. And of course, if you missed any of that contact information, you can find it all at realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.